Anybody else have something stirring right now? Whew, wow. Hallelujah. Wow, thank you, Lord. That at the end. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? Good morning, online family. We love you. Praise God you're with us today. Hallelujah. Or whenever you're watching this, in the name of the Lord. I do want to ask you to, if you can, you're welcome to join us tomorrow night. We're going to meet here at 6:30 here at the building, not at my house or not at the Weavers. This week, prayer will be here. And we're going to pray and seek God on behalf of the nation and the elections and just commit during the day on Tuesday a time of prayer and fasting for the nation. And I'll mention more about that. But everyone's welcome to come. We'll meet here. We'll give everybody their space and their distance. We won't be on top of one another. But we'd love to have you join us. We're going to worship and pray, and we're going to cry out and believe God. Amen? For what he wants to do in this land. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what matters more than anything else, what he wants to do. And not even what I want, but what he wants. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to share with you today. I shared with you last week about how all of creation is longing and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Remember that? We talked about how when the sons of light come forth, it will be those who walk in the freedom of the glory of God. That is what creation itself is longing to see. How many want to be a part of seeing that come to pass? Amen? It's going to require us to walk in it. Now, we're either growing and developing spiritually in the Lord, or we're risking having stagnation in our growth and our maturity. A lifestyle of ongoing discipleship is required for us to be able to go. Remember, we looked at what John wrote, to go from being little children to being young men, right, to being fathers, to see the growth that the Lord wants us to, the steps that he wants us to take as we grow in the Lord. Here's the thing. True disciples, if you look at anything that Jesus taught, true disciples not only abide in the word, but they do the word. True disciples are not only filled with the Holy Spirit, they're led by and they live by the Holy Spirit. See, that's the difference. And true disciples not only have met he who is the light, they have become sons of light. And they walk in the light. And how many know we need that light never before? That is what's going to expose things in darkness. It is not going to get exposed because we stand on our soapbox and talk about the darkness. It's going to be the exposure of the light that comes from the sons of God as they rise up. Amen? And again, I said this last week, but I'll say it again. Ladies, any mention to gender is not about gender. Okay? Don't worry about it. It's not. You're qualified. You're a son of light and your fathers and mothers in the Lord. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, go with me if you would. I want to go back to a passage we looked at last week in Ephesians 5, verse number 13. I want to take it a little bit further. Ephesians 5, verse number 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Everybody say the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And so for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. How many of you are glad whenever you make a move toward God, he will shine on you? Amen? Therefore, be careful how you walk. How many like the times when we know he's shining on us and we're in his presence in prayer and in worship and in his word? How many love that? You love when he shines on you. But I want to tell you today, we have to be careful how we walk. How do we walk out of our prayer closet? How do we walk out of our worship services? Amen? Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Amen? Making the most of your time. Now, most of you remember the older King James Version, redeeming the time. How many ready to redeem the time? Hallelujah. As you get to be my age, you'll want to redeem some time. Hallelujah. But because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's keep reading. And do not get drunk with wine. For that is dissipation. But be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Notice this. How? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Hold on for just a second there. When you and I sing to the Lord, we're speaking to one another. Have you ever noticed that? How when we're singing songs of praise, we're actually communicating something to someone else's heart. Isn't that cool? As I sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord, I'm speaking to you, and you're speaking to me. Hallelujah. It's time for all of us to participate in that. Amen? Hello. Even if you're home with your family on the couch today, you can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen? Did they say amen? I think they did. Hallelujah. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and here it is, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now that word there for fear would be the word in the reverence and awe of Christ. Hello? Now notice that. That's how we are to be subject to one another. And I shared with you last week that effective discipleship accomplishes something. I think two main things. First of all, it accomplishes in us that we become equipped and we become trained. Amen? To be disciplined followers. That's what a disciple is. He's a follower of Jesus. But it also helps us to learn how to live in community, as a spiritual family, as the body of Christ. Amen? Where we're being subject to one another. And I'll show you some things that I think will help us understand that all the more and what that looks like. Because let's be honest, we don't have what they had in the book of Acts. I don't know of any church that does, especially in the Western world with our busy lives, but it's got to change. It's got to change. Now go with me to Mark chapter 3 and verse number 13. Mark 3:13. Jesus went up on the mountain and he summoned, notice that, he summoned those whom he himself, anybody ever been summoned by the law? I mean, guess what? You better respond. Amen. He summoned those whom he himself wanted and they came to him. So the choice to come was theirs. Are you with me? And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him. I mean, that's priority one, right? And that he could what? Send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. I like the way it says that. It didn't say cast out demons, but cast out the demons. In other words, there will be some to get cast out. Hallelujah. So yes, he is summoning us to be with him. Say amen. But that's as in worship, as in intimacy, as in time in the Word. Amen? But he's also wanting to disciple us so that he can send us out. So he can send us out into his harvest. Hallelujah. Oh, I need more amens than that. He's wanting to send us out. So you got to understand the process of how this happens. Now, the verse that we've quoted nearly every week and most ministers and ministries have been lifting up, especially during this season, is if my people who are called by my name, amen, what's the first thing? Well, humble themselves. Stop right there. We're not going to even read the rest of it today. Because if you don't get this down, nothing else matters. Everything else we're called to do has to come from a place of true humility before the Lord, amen? Now, when Jesus summoned his disciples, they came to him. And can I tell you, that was a choice of humility. Because they could have chosen in their pride to not come. I ain't got time, I don't want to do this, or whatever, right? Have you ever noticed how many people offered excuses to Jesus while they wouldn't follow him? I mean, read the Bible. It's all through there. Many walked away from the summons. They got arrested later. No. But they came to him, and again, to be discipled and to be sent forth. So, yes, we do come to worship. Absolutely. But can I say this to you? We also come to submit. Because that's really part of worship. It's to submit. It's to bow down. Amen? Submit to his authority, to submit to his plan, to submit to his will. Now, let's go over to James chapter 4. In James 4, James brings up the fact that we can spiritually be in a type of adultery before God. We're not being faithful to the Lord and the covenant we have with God. And in James 4, he says in verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Everybody say a greater grace. Come on, say it, a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives what? Grace to who? To the humble. I mean, everybody needs grace, but don't everybody get it. If you're in pride, you can't get it. Submit, therefore, to God. Everybody say that with me. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people want to resist the devil, but they don't do the first part. Submit to God. If you'll submit to God, resisting the devil is not that complicated. Because he'll flee. Because he'll realize that man or woman is submitted to God. I'm out of here. You with me? Are you with me? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I saw a bumper sticker years ago, and it was so good. It said, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, who moved? Because people tend to act like, well, I don't know, God's just not around. I don't feel like he ever hears my prayers. And blah, blah, blah. But if you draw near to him, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Notice that. Double-mindedness is not good. Say amen. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. And let, you know, there's a time to come to God and be miserable. There's a time to come and repent. Amen. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Everybody's shouting hallelujah right now. Humble yourselves. Say it with me. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, or the sight of the Lord, some translations say, and he will what? Exalt you or lift you up. Now, what does that mean? He's going to exalt us and lift us up. Here's the thing. Humbling yourself means that humility is about making a choice. It's a choice. If God, how many of you know, if God makes us humble, we will tend to become humiliated. How many of you know, sometimes life humbles us. We go through things and it humbles us. But how many of you know that you still have to make a choice if you're going to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? And that's the difference. I mean, our life can just completely waylay us and we can feel completely humbled by our circumstances, but we're not really humbled until we humble ourselves before God regarding that very thing. Amen? Well, let me give you an example. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that true? Say amen. That is true. Well, how many of you know it's better as a choice of humility to choose to do that now? Amen. Prideful people won't do that now, but I got news for you. One day they'll do it. And then when in their doing of that, they will be humiliated and they will be cast out. You see the difference, beloved. We need to understand the difference. How pathetic my life is and how big my pity party is doesn't mean I'm humble. Hello? If anything, I get in the blame game because it's everybody else's fault. And some people go as far as to say it's God's fault. Hello. So what is true humility? Humility is something we choose. Now, I want to give you four choices of true humility. And the reason I'm giving these to you today is they lead to true repentance or lasting repentance. Number one, you ready? True humility chooses to answer his calling. How many of you on your phones, if you know how to reject a call? Some of you do for me when I call you. No. How many know how to reject a call? And you either ignore it, let it ring, go to voicemail, or you just reject it. And I'm telling you, when you choose to answer a summons, what you do is you choose to bow your heart before him. You choose to say, Lord, I'm drawing near to you. And can I tell you, beloved, with all sincerity of heart, it's also an answer to a call of discipleship and a lifestyle of discipleship, where we learn and we grow and we have a spiritual discipline so that we can learn and grow and mature in the Lord. Humility is a posture of the heart before the Lord. Now, it's good to bow down, but you don't have to bow down. You can bow down and your heart's not bowed. Hello? So a lot of times our physical posture, while it's a good thing, I like to, you know, lift my hands and do things like that. But the bottom line is what's going on in my heart. That's the main thing. Amen? That's the main thing. It's the posture. But can I tell you this? Beyond the posture of humbling yourself, it's also a determination to act. Because why else would he lift you up except he wants to send you forth, right? So in sending you forth, but you have to have a willingness to act from that place of humility that he brought you to. What we're doing is we're offering our lives to him. I don't know about you, but I believe we're the redeemed of the Lord. What does that mean? We're his. Amen. I'm his property. My very being is his vessel of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? He's redeemed me for his glory and for his purposes. Say amen. We are choosing, when we come before him, to lay our time, our passion, our talents, our priorities, and even our will before the Lamb of God. Amen? We're willing to say, Lord, this year, let's be honest. There's really no compromising with the King. There's not a prayer that says, Lord, your kingdom come as long as it's what I want. No, but it's thy will be done. Even Jesus submitted to the Father and said, not my will in Gethsemane, but thy will be done. Are y'all with me? That's a choice of humility that led to an exaltation in what God's calling us to do. Y'all getting this? This is important. There's no compromising with the King. Do you remember when the captain of the host of the angelic army, some people thought it was a type of a Christophany, Jesus himself. I don't know. It's not the point. But the angel of the Lord is before Joshua as he's standing outside this fortified city of Jericho. And you remember Joshua looked at him. He had a sword in his hand. And Joshua looked at him And he said this, are you for us or for our adversaries? Do y'all remember what he said? No. I mean, this isn't about God getting on our side or God being on our enemy's side. This is about us aligning with God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this to you today. When you vote, you need to vote in alignment with the will of God and the heart of God. You need to vote righteousness and goodness and light. Amen? I'm telling you, this is about what God wants. It's not about what I would prefer he would be in my corner. You want God in your corner getting his. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to what? Present your bodies. Everybody say, present your bodies. A living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. How many of you know to present your body is your choice? It's your choice whether you do it or not. Hallelujah. He lifts us up to send us forth. But can I tell you this? In that time when we would say he exalted us or raised us up, it has to be that we go forth in humility. I mean, that's where we miss it sometimes. Have you ever seen people that will talk about how they've been humbled before God, but then they'll go out and they operate and even minister in his name with arrogance and pride and things that don't indicate humility? And that's where we have to check our spirit. What did the prophet Micah say? Come on, it's on every bumper sticker and t-shirt for the last 20 years. Do justice. Love mercy and what? And walk humbly. And everybody stops there, but the verse says, walk humbly with your God. Hallelujah. And that's what God's calling us to. Y'all with me? Psalm 103 says, he crowns us. I love this. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Aren't you glad? But think about this. If he crowned, he didn't say he loved you and was compassionate to you. He is. But he said he crowns you with it. It's something you wear. Are you with me? It's our crowning glory as the children of God to walk in compassion. Amen? And in loving kindness. Say amen. Hallelujah. The second choice of humility, of true humility, are you ready for this? Is you choose to praise and worship him. If you wait until you feel like worshiping him, you will 9 times out of 10 not worship him. Because of life and everything that's going on around you, you'll become distracted by all of that. But we have to be like David. You remember what David said? He said, I will celebrate. He was determined he would worship the Lord and praise his holy name. Here's the thing that helped me years ago as a worship leader and a seeker of God. Years ago, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, you need to know your place, but you also need to know my place. You get more of that? I mean, it's time for the body of Christ. We need to know our place, which is in humility before him, right? But we also need to know his place. His place is high and lifted up. Amen? He is the King of glory. Come on. This is where, and when we have that understanding in our hearts, we understand this. He is worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration. And let everything that has breath, if you're breathing, praise him. Amen? Don't watch others praise him. You praise him. Because if you really believe that, if you're really in true humility, you will worship the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. We know this verse in Hebrews 11:6. What does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is. Amen. And that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to emphasize the part. The first thing you got to believe is that he's God. How many of you believe he is Jehovah? Amen. How many of you believe he is the Ancient of Days? He is the Great I Am. He is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is the God that we worship. Hallelujah. He is the Majestic Glory. He is God, and we are not. Amen. Amen. I know my place. Even though he's raised me and seated me with him, and he calls me his son, it doesn't change anything about who he is. We must believe that he's God. Hallelujah. Oh, if we could get this, I believe it would so radically transform our worship even more. Our posture would change. Did you know there's a proper way to approach a king? Even in the world system, if you were to approach a king when you weren't summoned, that's a bad thing. It could be off with your head. That's what Esther was facing. Remember that? When she went before the king. But I want to tell you something today. He's extended his scepter to us, and he says, come. Amen? He's extended his scepter to us. There's a proper way to approach a king. Look with me at Psalm 100. I love this psalm. Only 5 verses. Psalm 100. This shows us how to approach the king. Are you ready? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Everybody say before him. With what? Joyful singing. Know, there it is. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with murmuring and complaining. No. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, hallelujah, and his courts with praise, hallelujah. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Hallelujah. That's how you approach the king. Hallelujah. You might say, well, we got talented musicians to do that for us. No. We all approach him in that way. Let's be honest. Let's be totally honest and real. If Jesus physically walked in here and sat down on this platform today, we would all worship differently. Hello? We would all be the most radical worshipers in the planet. I mean, we'd be like that woman with the alabaster box, man. Our perfume would fill the room. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, I'm not rebuking you. I'm admonishing you. That's how you approach a king. And that's true humility. To sit back and disengage, that's not humility. That means you don't really believe he's here. But can I tell you, Hebrews tells us in the new covenant, it's even better. Say it's even better. Because when you and I choose to humble ourselves before the Lord in our praise and our worship, and we acknowledge that he is God in the congregation, the Bible says, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, get this, he comes into the midst of us because, get this, he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Jesus looks at us like family. He comes into the midst of us and he proclaims the names of the Lord, singing praises over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How dare us not sing? Come on. I want to give you my all. I love the least church horse. Yes. And I don't usually scream a lot when I preach. Not usually. I'm usually hoarse from worshiping. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Think about it. The king is in the midst of us today. Amen. I would be like, if I could physically see him, I would not want to be like him coming down the aisle and I'm going. Are y'all with me? I'd be like, whoa, hands up, voice open, man, on my knees worn out. My knees look like Jennifer's jeans. I've been praying so much. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Forgive me, Jennifer. But anyway. The third choice of true humility. Are you ready for this? This is going to maybe, you maybe didn't think this is where I was going, but stay with me. True humility, I'm convinced of this, chooses to activate your faith. Because see, you don't only believe who he is, but you believe what? He is a, say it, rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the faith that pleases him. Can I say this to you? To live life as a skeptic, full of doubt and unbelief, is not humility. You may be humiliated by your circumstances, but it's not humility to live that way. It's actually, let's be honest, it's dishonoring to God. It's dishonoring to God. True humility will always lead to a true faith that pleases the Lord. Isn't that where we want to get? When we open our hearts and believe, I believe it's the ultimate act of humility. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I believe you. I'm taking you at your word today because your word never changes. Lord, I believe in you. You are the God of miracles. Amen? Nothing with you is impossible. So, Lord, I extend my faith and believe today. Hallelujah. When the Lord first appeared to Abram, when his name was Abram, before it was Abraham, he appeared to him in a vision. He said to him, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Now, you probably remember better the old King James version of that. I am your exceedingly great reward. Don't you love that? How do you exceed greatness? Only God can do that. He's exceedingly great reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. True humility realizes, I love that song we've been singing the last few months. True humility really realizes, I'm not enough unless you come. I mean, we're nothing without him. Are y'all with me? Amen. We're nothing without him. Hallelujah. So I choose to believe he is my shield and he is my great reward. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants us to believe in him. I love what it says in Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which what? surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the, what does it say? Fullness of God. Wow, stop and just meditate on that. Wow, beloved, not now to him who is able, say he's able, to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Are you praying like he's a great reward? Are you believing and dreaming and imagining like he's a great reward? Amen? Beyond what you could ask or even think. According to the power that works within us. Say within me. Come on. Within me. To him be the glory. Where? Where? In the church and in Christ Jesus. To all generations. Forever and ever. I don't know about you, but that covers it. That covers you and I, does it not? It covers us. Hallelujah. Okay, quit shouting, Rick. Calm down. Abundantly beyond. I love that. Above and beyond, some translations say. You know, to believe and dream big is actually humility. It is. To dream big and to believe big is actually true humility. As long as it's not fueled by selfish ambition. See, I don't want to dream big about it. Oh, a grand work of God just so they can say, well, I'm the pastor of this great work of God. I mean, that's selfish ambition. But he does want us to dream and believe big. Can we really believe for this city, this metro area to be transformed, for this state to be transformed, for all the tribal nations to be transformed? Can we really believe from sea to shining sea for something mighty to happen in this land? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory be to God. But if we don't believe, because we don't need to believe, I'm sorry, my own statement, I can't read it. Great humility is to believe and dream big. Do we agree? Here's the thing. Because we don't need to believe for what we can do in our own wisdom and strength. I don't really have to believe for that. I just have to do it. Is it required of me to do what I can do? Absolutely. I mean, nobody gets touched if you don't reach out. Right? Nothing happens if we don't do what we can do. But what I'm saying is we have to believe above and beyond that. Because then we're just caught up in what we can do. And how many know what we can do is pretty pathetic. When it all gets said and done. Hallelujah. I've been in some moves of God and I've been in some works of God where it's us working really hard. And I've been in some moves of God and I'm going, I'll take a move of God any day. Amen. We started today with that. Amen. This is a move. Hallelujah. Humble people are very expectant because they believe that he can do above and beyond. They believe that he is what? The way maker, miracle worker. Amen. Promise. Come on. Light in the darkness, our God. That is who he is. Amen. That's who he is. And my bold faith honors and pleases him when I believe him in that way. One more choice of true humility. Number four. There's only four. Hallelujah. Oh, I saved the long one for the last. No. This is attached to that one, but I want you to hear my heart in it. True humility chooses to prepare. Say prepare. For what we're expecting. If you're expecting for something and you don't prepare, do you really believe it? You know, I've got a granddaughter coming. I've got a granddaughter coming. Woohoo! And can I tell you, Ricky and Liz are preparing. They had the baby shower and they've got the room ready and they got, you know what I'm saying? You prepare for what you're expecting. Hallelujah. And it's actually a sign of true humility because I so believe you, God. In my humility, I'm going to go out there and start preparing even though I hadn't seen it yet. Because I have seen it with the eyes of faith. Hallelujah. I long for revival and harvest. Is that a good thing? Yes. Should not we all be longing for revival and for harvest? Amen. That's a good thing. But I also must be the catalyst for that to happen. I've got to be willing to be a vessel, a catalyst for his power to work in and through me. So in preparing for that which in which I'm expecting, how many of you know my main preparation is me? Yeah. And your main preparation is you. Hallelujah. Come on, to become a disciple that he can use. It's important that I and you and all of us grow and mature. It's important for us to abide in the word and that we learn and can be teachable. And of course, that we're able to teach others. Amen. It's important that we learn how to freely receive so that we can freely give to others. Y'all see that? Preparation. Say it again. Preparation. It's a sign of true faith. It's a sign to God. He's serious. He's expecting something from me. It's also an evidence of our true humility. More than you would think. If we think about this. If we ask for something, How can I say this? If we ask for something that we can't possibly accommodate, okay, this can only mean we didn't really expect it, right? Because I can't accommodate it if he gave it to us. Which has caused me to do a lot of thinking lately about everything from facilities to our own preparation as a people of God. Amen? Because I don't want to be the generation that just observes it. I want to be right in the middle of it.
Amen?
Amen? If we're truly expectant of revival and harvest, which is the main thing we should long for, we're going to stir up and employ our gifts, right? Hello? If we're truly expectant, we're going to pursue revival. We're going to pursue the fresh oil and the fresh fire. We're going to lift up our eyes and start to see where the harvest is. We're going to begin to reach out. We're going to begin to get ourselves equipped so that we can faithfully minister to the lost. Amen? We're going to be discipled to such a degree that we can make disciples. Anybody want to join me in that? Where you're a part of that, making a disciple. How about this? We're going to need a larger space. A much larger space. Like Isaiah said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your cords and strengthen your stakes. Hallelujah. Get ready for your children. Hallelujah. If you're really expectant, then you'll start preparing. And I believe that's what God's telling us to do right now. I'm seeking him about facilities, but I'm not content in that if we, the people of Freedom Gate, aren't ready. Amen? We've got to be ready too. Zephaniah prophesied a warning to those who, he called it in some translations, he calls it who are stagnant in spirit. And I prefer the King James on this one. He says settled in complacency. How many of you have been settled in complacency about anything in your life? Come on. Every hand, you're so complacent you won't raise your hand. But no. But we've all been there. Amen? Settled in complacency. Can I tell you, being settled in complacency is not humility. It really isn't. It's actually called by Jesus lukewarmness. And he hates it. Because he can't use it. Are y'all with me? It's usually caused, I think, by self-pity. I know none of you have ever had any self-pity in your life. We resign ourselves to failure, right? Another failure. Complacency is also caused by self-reliance. We become complacent because that's rooted in pride. It's my self-reliance to do it or get it done. And of course, the biggest one I think that we all have to watch out for is that heaviness, that spirit of fainting. I like to call it the spirit of quit. The spirit of quit. And here's how Zephaniah described this verse. I know we've looked at it before. It's in Zephaniah 1:12, I think. Don't hold me to that. In your humility, don't hold me to that. But here's what he said. They say in their heart, the Lord will not do good or evil. In other words, everything spiritually is just flatlined. God's not doing evil things, but he's not doing good things. How many know that's not really true humility? When we entertain and we get rooted down in complacency. What I find out is when I'm complacent, I'm not responsive. Are you with me? I'm not responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I won't respond to his presence in worship. Amen? I won't be teachable. I'll be unwilling to learn and to grow. Amen? And usually, it's because I'm not really expecting anything. I'm certainly not willing to do what I need to do to prepare for the great reward. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a great reward coming. Amen? The answer to breaking out of complacency is so simple, we won't do it. Are you ready? I say we will do it. Amen. Be decisive and repent.
There you go. That's it.
Be decisive and repent. Turn. Do a 180, not a 360. I used to tell our kids, I said, if you're always at the altar repenting for the same thing all the time, you never did a 180. You did a 360. You repented, told God you're sorry, crying, boo-hooing, and you went right back around and lived the way you were living. Are you with me? God's not called us to live that way. Go with me to Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35. We're going to read into chapter 10. Matthew 9:35. Jesus is going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Notice that. The gospel, the good news of what? The kingdom. And healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. But let's stop right there for just a moment. How many of you agree and you believe the word of God when it said Jesus healed all kinds of diseases and sicknesses?
Amen.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hold on to that as we keep reading. Very important. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, How many know we live among a generation of distressed and dispirited people? Would you agree? Hallelujah. Like sheep without a shepherd. But then he said to his disciples, everybody say disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord. That literally means beg of him. Do you know that? Literally beg of him. The Lord of what? The harvest, to send out workers into his harvest. Keep reading the next verse in chapter 10. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples. Everybody say disciples. And gave them authority over what? Unclean spirits, to cast them out. And here it is. And to heal. Say it out loud. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. To go do what he was doing. Come on, beloved. Go down. He gave some other instructions about who to go to at the time. They were only going to Israel. But go down to verse 7. And as you go, what? Preach. Testify. Share. Be a witness. Whatever way. Saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you received. Freely give. Hallelujah. And you know what? It wasn't just the 12. Luke records 70 disciples were going out in his authority and casting out demons. But we also know he ministered to thousands. Right? But we never see any more than the 120 that waited in the upper room that we would call were committed to be disciples. So what I want to say to you today is this. They became a catalyst for the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom. And everyone in the sound of my voice and all over this planet that's been redeemed by the Lord, that's your destiny and calling, is to be used of God in some way as a catalyst for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. Now, I shared with you last week the story about Jonathan and his armor bearer when he took on this Philistine garrison that was on the hillside of the Lord. And I wanted to show it to you. I just quoted it to you last week, but it's found in 1 Samuel 14. I want to first look at verse 6 and then hold it. Don't put up verse 7 until I call for it. Verse number 6, look what it says. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Remember, I told you, he identified right away, we are in covenant with God and they are not. Amen? Perhaps the Lord will what? Work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. How many of you believe that? Seriously. In fact, when he sent them out, remember, he sent them out in pairs. What does it say? Two or more. Gathered in my name, I'm right in the middle of you. Hallelujah. And so what the Lord's saying is we don't need to be intimidated by how small we are, how big we are, or what we think we are. We just need to, am I available? Am I God's catalyst? Am I God's vessel for what he wants to do? Amen? That's all he requires. You know, being steadfast and secure in our faith is knowing that God can and will do it. Would you agree? Yes. But you know, we need to also be steadfast and secure in our identity. Because our identity is in Christ, meaning he will do it through us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. I love this. His armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Get this now. I love this. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that a picture of what it means for us to be subject to one another? Someone else, you may not be the leader of a particular thing or an outreach or an event or whatever, but the Lord says, if it's in what we ought to be speaking to one another, if that's in your heart, it bears witness with me, I'm with you. If you turn to one side, you're going to see me there. I'm with you. I've got your back. We're going to do this together. Are y'all with me? That's what I believe it means to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That gets things done. Not everybody's going to get the vision for the thing that certain ministry is going to be doing per se, but it bears witness with our heart, and so we attach ourselves to it. And that's what the armor bearer said. He said, well, if you want to take on that, he didn't say, if you want to take on that garrison, I'm going to go get a happy meal. You know, I'm out of here. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, I'm with you. If that's in your heart, let's go for it. And I believe there's such a oneness God wants us to have in that whatever is burning in any of our hearts, we'll just attach our heart to that. Amen? So let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's commit to being disciples. Let's believe together again as a church for the Lord to accomplish a work in our days. Amen? Let's do this together. Let's support one another. Let's be subject to one another. But let's also humble ourselves and make the choices that come from a heart of true humility. That's what qualifies us to be his true disciples. Many who Jesus called offered their excuses. I mean, some of them were actually pretty good. Like, bury my father? But the point was, they all kept saying, Lord, I will follow you, but. Lord, I will follow you, but. Let me first do this. And how many know when he calls us, he's got to be first? Hello? I'm with you. It's hard sometimes because you have to count the cost. Hello? You do. I will follow you. We can't make those excuses. We'll miss the call. We'll miss the call. You ever looked at a call you intended to answer and you didn't? You go, oh man, when did you call me? It's going on in the body of Christ today. We're missing the call. Jesus said what? Many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe our choices are determining whether or not we're his choice. The choices we're making. He's summoning us to come and be with him, to become his disciples, so that he can send us forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. I said this last week, and I just want to repeat it again. Let's stop downgrading our dreams and our visions to fit our current reality and circumstance. Let's quit downgrading it. And instead, why don't we upgrade our conviction and our commitment, amen, to the upward call of God in our lives. And it means this, we're going to have to be willing to lose our lives in this world so that we can live for the sake of Jesus and the sake of the gospel. Amen? He gives a greater grace. It's a greater grace. Everybody say greater grace. Greater grace. This is by which the Lord can humbly submit ourselves to one another and to the Lord and respond to his summons. There's two important things coming up. Actually, there's three. There is a great worship rally tonight at Tempe. It's the beach park, though, right? Yeah, down on Tempe Town Lake. With Sean Foyt, who's been worshiping gatherings all over. He was in Vegas yesterday. And I know it'll be the last one they do before the election, I think. Isn't it? I don't think they're doing one on Monday. But anyway, well, the election's Tuesday, right? But anyway, I don't know a lot of the details, but you'll just have to figure that out. Do you know what time it starts? It starts at 5. So, you know, prepare accordingly because it'll be chilly at 6. You know, and just prepare yourself for that. But that's another thing. But another thing I want to bring to your attention, on Monday evening, we're going to meet here at 6:30 here, not at a house. We're going to meet here for prayer and worship. Now, for those of you online in the central time zone, you guys are finally off of daylight saving time. We welcome you to reality. But the good news is, you're no, like Memphis time, you guys are not 2 hours ahead of us now. You're only an hour ahead of us. And because you finally caught up with Arizona. No. But anyway, tomorrow night, that'll be 7:30 Central Time. Eastern Time will be 8:30. We're gonna be online. We're going to have prayer and worship. But we're going to pray specifically fast. It started time of 24 hours of fasting and prayer. We're not going to stay here 24 hours in the building. But we're going to, from here, go into a day of fasting and prayer for the election and for our nation. Say amen. Amen. You might say, well, what are we going to be praying about? Well, I'm going to be praying that the righteous ones who haven't voted will rise up and go vote. Amen. How about that? Hallelujah. And also, they'll vote as unto the Lord, as I've said. Also, how about this? We need to pray for the integrity of the election. Yes. I mean, we need to pray against fraud. Not only that evil schemes would be revealed, but that they would be thwarted. Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. We need to be praying for the safety and protection of the voters and the poll workers. These are volunteers, you know. We need to pray for their protection. But how about this? We need to pray for violence and mayhem to be cut off. That's it. Amen? Whatever the result is, that people aren't going to be out there freaking out in the streets. Amen? And that also, you might say, well, how can we pray that? Well, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And I tell you, people are really being motivated. I've never been more encouraged. Every time I turn around, somebody's worshiping down at the National Mall at the Capitol. Or they're worshiping in their capitals of their cities and states. And I'm just telling you, it's just amazing what's going on. It's just like I'm seeing moves. There was a Lance Wallnau, Mari Murillo, and all of them were at Washington yesterday. And maybe today, too, with the one as one conference kind of a thing. And I listened to part of that last night, and it was powerful. And I'm just telling you, I'm excited because it seems like some Christians are finding their keys. Yes. Amen. Amen. So join us tomorrow night if you can. We'll start at 6. Even if you can just come for part of it. We'll probably be from about 6:30 till no longer than about 8 o'clock. And then from that, fast and pray with us throughout the day on Tuesday, okay? Yes. All right? You with me? Okay. The other thing is this. These fellowship life groups that are geared toward community and discipleship, we hope to begin in about 2 weeks. So I ask everyone to prepare your hearts. I'm going to be contacting those of you that want to do it. and we'll figure it out what's going to work for everybody. We got a lot of logistics to work out. We'll get that worked out. These are those relational small fellowship groups. There will be no more than 12 apiece. So I know we already have at least one, but there's probably going to be two or three. We will meet at the church initially as we start these groups, okay, for the initially get started. But we'll also, we are looking at trying to do it on Zoom for all of our friends and family that want to. I've had several people contact me from out of state that want to do it with us. Could they Zoom in on us? And we're going to try that. We're going to see how that goes. And but it would be better if you could to be in person. But that's an option for people that just cannot, they work at night or whatever, okay? But initially, this, a lot of people have asked, I'm just going to go and say this for the sake of the recording and just for the information to get out there before I talk to you personally. Initially, this will be a 12-week commitment. We'll gather, you know, you're going to be giving up a time, probably an evening, for 12 weeks. We will not meet, of course, on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. We won't meet on those weeks because what good would it do if half the group was out of town for the holidays? So we wouldn't do that. All I'm asking of you to do is to make a commitment. Amen. Just make a commitment. Amen. Let's not be those who always have an excuse. I would do this, but let's count the cost and make it happen. We can make it happen if we really want to do it. Amen. Amen. Let's be those who choose to humble ourselves. Amen. And answer the call of God. Now, as we pray today, I felt led of the Lord this morning to pray two apostolic prayers over you from the book of Ephesians. I'm going to pray these over you before I release you today, okay? And I'm going to pray them straight out of the scripture to you in just a moment. We looked at some of the verses of one of them just a few minutes ago. But one of them is in Ephesians 1, and the other one is in Ephesians 3. And some of you are probably familiar with these prayers, but I felt led of the Lord to pray these over you, all of our friends and partners, and over this church, okay? And so I want to do that before we go, and then we'll close with a worship song, okay? But here's what I want to encourage you with as we pray. Knowing that God gives a greater grace, say it again, a greater grace. I believe if we respond, he gives a greater grace. And I believe the greater grace, and I really believe the Spirit spoke this to me, the greater grace eradicates fear, and it eradicates complacency. And it eradicates indecisiveness. You with me? How many of you know we could use some of that? Because a lot of times we just stay stuck because we don't ever try to move. But it also empowers us to submit to the Lord. And that's what grace does. It's a grace to do that. I could remember when I was a youth pastor, I could tell which of the young people had the grace to do it and which did not. Because the ones that had the grace to do it, they did it with all their hearts and they were dramatically changed. But the ones that didn't have that grace, I could tell. The grace gives you a sincerity of heart. Anybody want that grace? I hope you do because I get ready to pray it over you. Hallelujah. But also, we all need that strong spiritual foundation so we can stimulate growth and grow into maturity in all that God has called us to do. Amen? So you ready to choose? Amen. Are you ready to make the four choices? Hallelujah. To humble yourself before the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel, if you guys could come up. Let's just remain seated. You can stand if you want to. But let's just remain seated. If you would, put your hands out in front of you, just in a sign of however you want to. You might want to kneel down, you might want to stand, but let's just change our posture right now physically and set our hearts before God right now. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you today that you so loved us that you suffered and died for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you today, Lord God, that you're calling us to submit to you. You're calling us, Lord God, to something greater, a greater grace. And I pray, Lord God, right now, for those who are making decisions and choices, that, Lord God, that your great grace will drive out all fear, all regret, all complacency and indecisiveness will be gone. And, Lord God, by your grace, it will empower us to submit to you as the Lord of all and to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Say, yes, Lord, come on. Yes. Yes, Lord, we want that grace right now. Lord, I know each one of us, because of your grace, because of your work in our lives, that, Lord God, we all want to have a strong spiritual foundation. And we want to grow, Lord God. We want to break stagnation. We want to break complacency. In the name of Jesus, I command the rivers to flow again out of your spirit in the name of Jesus. Negativity be gone in the name of Jesus. And may a spirit of faith come upon you. For such a time as this. Say it. For such a time as this. Again. For such a time as this. Lord, we don't want to delay it any longer. We know it's time.
Yes.
And way beyond an election, way beyond a governmental leader, Lord God, we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are high above all authority in heaven and on earth, and even in this nation, Lord. And we want to be submitted to you for your glory, my Lord. And we praise you for it today. We praise you for it today. Now, I want to read these prayers over you, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a song we sang earlier. So just engage your heart right now with this prayer. And you just give your amen to it. Anything that resonates in your heart, I'm going to pray it right now, straight from the Word of God. Hallelujah. I do not cease giving thanks for you, Freedom Gate Church, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only of this age, but also in the one to come. Say now. Come on, say now. Say now. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body. Come on, say it. We are your body. Say it. We are your body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives His name, that He would grant you. Now receive this. Receive it. According to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Come on, lift your hands and say, fill me up, Lord. Come on, fill me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Receive that today. Stand up on your feet now. Come on, stand up on your feet now. Let's start this song. Come on, right now, just pray this song unto the Lord of preparation before His heart right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on, say it. Something needs to break off. There's power when you sing that over your heart. Come on, believe big, believe big. He's your exceedingly great reward. Ready. Gotta be ready. Come on, lift up your heads. Open up the doors of heaven. Lift up your heads, oh ye gates.
Open up the doors of heaven.
That we might enter in. Doors of heaven.
Open up the doors of heaven. We might enter in. We might enter in.
We might enter in. Jesus. to the church of Philadelphia. He said, "He who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David." Remember, David was the unashamed worshiper who loved the Lord his God with all of his heart. He's a type of a disciple. Amen? Yeah. Who opens and no one will shut. Who shuts and no one opens, says this. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Beloved, the disciple's life opens doors to things we've never seen before. Anybody want that? Amen. What he promised Nathaniel, greater things than these. Amen. And I believe in this hour, the Lord says, when we choose to be his chosen, there's a door opening. And the Lord's going to say, even at times, as he said in the book of Revelation, come up here. I have something to show you. The season of great revelation and seeing into the things of the kingdom of God are going to a whole nother level for a time such as this. And we just say, Lord, open our eyes. Open our spiritual senses to see and to hear and to know, to taste. Even to taste of you. Even to know the fragrance of your beauty and your love. Enlighten us, Lord. Enlighten us, Lord. May we be so submitted to you that you would give us the key of David. Come on, just reach out right now. Grant us the key of David, Lord. We don't want to get caught up in works, just trying to do stuff because we think it's what you would want to. Lord, we want to know what you have ordained by revelation. I bless this house and I bless our friends and family who worship with us. I bless you today. I bless you with great revelation, visions, dreams, glory by the Holy Spirit. Not only that you would pray in heavenly languages, but that you would prophesy. That you would prophesy. And that you would dream big. Come on, you would dream big. Out of a heart of true humility. To dream big and to envision big. According to the revelation that you bring, Holy Spirit. Pray this with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon me. Fill me. Flow through me. Saturate me. With your love and your power and the light of revelation, that I may be a true witness unto our Lord's glory. I receive you. I receive you in a fresh and a new way. May I live as a disciple who does not grieve you or quench you, but lives fully aware of you at all times. Knowing that the heart of the Father jealously desires for us to have this relationship. Forgive us, Father, for grieving your heart. Grant us the greater grace. Greater grace, greater grace, greater grace to submit like never before. And to know that we can submit. Because you are good. You are good. You are so good. Good, good Father. It's who you are. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. Oh, that's who you are. And I am loved by you. Can sing that over your heart. I am loved by you. I receive your love. I am loved by you. Oh, lover of my soul. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Oh, I am loved by you. Sing it again. I am loved by you. I am loved by you, O lover of my soul, O lover of my soul.
I just want to say what I was hearing. I was hearing that when we make a decision to become disciples and we're waking up, the Lord is going to give us, He's actually preparing the harvest right now.
Yes.
There are many revivals going on all over the nation.
That's right.
And many young people are coming into the kingdom and they need to be discipled. So the harvest, the Lord is blowing on the harvest. He's blowing. So when we become a disciple, we will have a new view of the heart of God, as of how much He wants His people to come into His kingdom. Hell was not prepared for human beings. Hell is not for human beings. He's got a mansion prepared, prepared for every soul that was ever born.
Yes.
He plans for everyone to be saved.
Right.
And He will share with us His heart as you become more an active disciple. And to become a disciple, we've got to be one. We've got to work together. You can't be a disciple all on your own. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you to choose discipleship.
Yes.
Amen.
We would have parents. Yeah, back down. We would have parents that, I guess he's saying I have a bigger mouth than you. We would have parents that would tell me when my kid started doing discipleship and doing missions trips and just, you know, outreaches and stuff. He said it affected our whole home. You know, something Johnny did or Julie did or whatever, you know, it affected the whole home. So let's look at it that way too. It's going to affect people around us. Affect and infect.
Yes.
Affect and infect the people around us. Amen? At home, workplace, whatever it may be. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Anything else? Anybody got anything?
I think you're loud like me, so we'll leave it.
As we were just praying, I just saw each of us, I just feel like we need to put our hands on our hearts because God is doing something so new in us. This is a new season. And Lord, I pray right now that your heart and our hearts will unite. Lord, you said when two or more gathered, we're united. So Jesus, right now I declare us one in you. And Father God, I ask you, as this day forward, that we move in you. And that the body is awake, and the body will move just as you have. And I ask you to soften our hearts, and let us be the revival as well, Lord. Because you said we are the revival, and we're the light of this world through you, Lord. So, Lord, when we exit out of here, I declare our hearts open and we will continually be a tidal wave of light for each and every person out there, Lord. And I have decree and we stomp out the enemy on us and we move forward as a nation.
Amen.
And Jesus, as we exit, this nation stands under one God. And we are America through you, Lord. In your mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah. 12 became 70, became 120, became 3,000, and the whole known world was affected. You got something?
Yeah.
I just want y'all to know I finished up a long time ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Just be patient. Yeah, I, day before yesterday, I had something, and we have a plant. We got it from her mother. It's a palm tree, and it's in a pot, and it was starting to die. the leaves were getting brown, and her friend Frauke came and said, that plant looks like it might be root-bound in that pot. So I got it out, and Irene had her phone, and the ceramic pot, it's a like a clay pot. It's pretty good size. I went to Home Depot and got a bigger one. So I took a little rock. I didn't have a hammer, so I picked up a rock. I thought, man, I'll have to beat on this thing to break, because I tried to pull the plant out, and it wouldn't come out. It was so root-bound, it wouldn't come out of the pot. So I took the rock, and I just barely hit the ceramic, and it just broke apart. And Irene was filming it, and she said, you know, we get root-bound like that.
Yep.
We get root-bound. We have a veneer around us, all the distractions, and God, all he wants to do is take a little rock and hit us and shatter that. And then the roots grow, and we can grow as a plant. So don't get root-bound in all the distractions all around you with all the stuff that's going on. Be like that pot. Let God hit you with a rock.
Yep.
Break you open. Amen.
Well, Jesus actually said if we'll fall on the rock, we'll be broken. But if we don't, eventually the boulder will fall on us. So let's choose to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anything else? Anybody got something stirring that would be a blessing to anybody else before we say goodnight? Good night. I'm already thinking ahead to this evening. Good night. Let's pray. Can people get online live when that's happening tonight? Sometimes they'll have some feeds, so you might check that out tonight. But start preparing your hearts and join us tomorrow night. Come on by. If you can't be here at 6:30, come about 7 or whatever. We'll be here for about an hour or so. And then I'll even give you some things maybe that you can use to kind of pray and decree throughout the day. Keep us in unity and agreement about some things that are going on. But guys, whatever happens on Tuesday doesn't change a thing about what we're called to be and do. Amen? And that's the way we have to look at this. Amen? We have to care, but we also have to care enough to know that nothing's causing God to panic. And amen? And let's believe that. I'm believing for righteousness to prevail. All right. We love you. Have an awesome day. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. May his face shine upon yours always and grant you shalom in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bye to all our friends online. We'll see you. We'll be online tomorrow night for that prayer time. So join us on Monday evening at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.